Right now, we welcome to the Shilling Show, Courtney Fraser, David Murata with Murata Wealth Management. And David, you were just here. And Courtney, we welcome you as well. Thank you so much for joining us today on the financial planning profession turning 50, a big anniversary.
Yeah, it was exactly 50 years ago today on December 12th, 1969, that the group of people gathered in Chicago and said, there's got to be a better way of doing financial planning than selling product. And from that sort of seminal event came all the resolutions to create the International Association of Financial Planners, the College for Financial Planning, and then from that came the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and ultimately the CFP and the CFP board all came out of that and really sort of invented a new industry, and that is a financial professional who didn't just take orders and take commissions and sell product, but actually just sat on the client side of the table and served clients in helping them meet their financial goals rather than meeting their company's sales goals.
You know, it's interesting that you're bringing flashbacks to me of when I was a very young man and I first started investing and taking a call from my broker, and I can't remember if he was with E.F. Hutton or, I don't know, Merrill Lynch, I don't remember which one, but he would call me up at home and he'd say, hey, we're recommending this, you know, and he was like selling it to me. And as I never really knew whether it was his interest or mine, I mean, I figured he was probably looking out for me, but it always felt kind of weird because I knew, you know, he was going to be making a chunk of change off that.
Yeah. And back in those days, you know, there were a lot of good people working in the financial services industry. And it was some of those good people who said, there's got to be a better way of doing this because there's a lot of things for which there's no product.
Yeah.
There's no product to sell. You just come alongside and you help people meet their financial goals. And it's a very different business model than the typical sales model.
I would imagine over the years, before this all came to play or before it was known well in the public, that this profession, what it was at the time, a product salesman, financial products, probably had a bad rap with people because I would imagine like any other business, there were unscrupulous people that got in. And if you looked at the trust level, I'm assuming that for some people, it wasn't all that high.
Yeah. And in fact, in 1969, they were in the middle of a market downturn from 1968 to 1970. It was the bear market of 1970, where ultimately the markets dropped over 36%. And because the hype from the salespeople had said, oh, these products are safe, they go up, you know, this is American stock market, it only goes up, people were very disappointed by the actual results that were happening in the market, and they didn't feel like they were getting actually objective advice. And so as a result of all that, you know, mutual fund sales were down and everything else, and people said, hey, selling product is kind of a fool's errand, because what people really want is they want to know how they're going to meet their financial goals in a market that's inherently volatile.
So, Courtney, let's talk about it from your perspective as a young person in this business. How did you decide this was the right path for you? Because it takes some time and some effort to get through all this.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like I fell into doing it. Yeah. I went to Virginia Tech with the goal of being pre-vet and realized pretty quickly that I wasn't going to be good for that. I can't handle the blood and guts. And so I ended up just looking at different majors that they have at Virginia Tech, and they have a program for financial planning which meets the education component of getting the CFP designation. And at the time I was a freshman, and I thought, sure, I'll sign up for this and do it for a while, and if I hate it, I still have plenty of time to change my mind. But I ended up loving it, and it was a great fit.
I think one of the most remarkable things, and one of the things I was surprised about in looking at this designation and affiliation, is how rare it is. In other words, there are very few people, relatively speaking, in the business who have this designation.
There are about 800,000 financial employees or registered investment advisory firms, but only about 83,000, or maybe about 10% of those, have CFPs. And then there's only about 3,700 NAPFA members. NAPFA is the National Organization of Personal Financial Advisors. NAPFA's requirements are that you not only have a CFP, but that you're fee only, and that you do comprehensive wealth management, not just investment management. And so we're very strong advocates of NAPFA and think it's a great way to find a financial advisor who's both competent and is only compensated by their clients.
So let's understand the difference between fee only and the traditional model. How does that differ?
Yeah, the traditional model is commission-based, and so if you sell certain products, you get a higher wage. You get paid by the product companies in order to sell their products. And generally speaking, commission-based products have higher expense ratios, and a little tiny bit of that expense ratio goes to the advisor, and a big chunk of it then goes to the company. Mm-hmm. And so there's this little bribe to financial professionals to sell it, and there's this big hurt to people when they buy it. And so increasingly the push of the past 50 years has been to lower the expense ratio of funds. You start getting index funds, you start getting Bogle and Vanguard and all of the other things that have really pushed costs down for clients who are trying to find investments. And not universally, but generally speaking, the money that you're paying to a financial planner whose fee only is less expensive than the commission-based products you might otherwise be invested in.
So a lot of people are listening now and just wondering, you know, what is the relationship like between the client and the provider of this service? In other words, how much does one get involved versus the other? I mean, I would imagine that people hire you for your expertise, but how do you work alongside of your clients?
Yeah, we find that our clients confide more personal details with us than they do their pastor or their doctor. we generally end up knowing a tremendous amount about our clients. We're truly trying to model their entire financial lives. Financial planning is really life planning. What's the money for? And then you start building everything backward to try to make sure that whatever your goals are in life, you're going to be able to meet them. And, you know, every study suggests that if you work with a financial advisor, you're more likely to meet your goals. If you think about dieting, you can't outsource dieting to someone else. You can't delegate it. If you think about your personal relationships, you can't delegate your personal relationships. But if you think about your finances, you actually can delegate vast portions of your personal finances to someone else to do them on your behalf. And as a financial professional, we have a fiduciary duty to act in our clients' best interest. So whatever our clients would do if they had our time and expertise, that's what we do. And our highest calling is first to the client of whatever is in their best interest.
Well, I think it gives people assurance that, you know, that you are looking out for them, and that's an important part of all of this. So let's talk about that. You have a new code of ethics and standards of conduct. Tell us about those and how they differ from what was there before.
Yeah, the CFP just recently has updated their code of ethics to try to bring it up to speed. They included a new definition of financial planning and when financial planning is going on. They talk about the ongoing requirements of financial planning. Unlike product sales, where you just sell something to someone and then they're on their own, there's really an ongoing level of care that's required for financial planning. They also defined things such as the industry has been using the term fee-based to try to pretend to be fee-only. And there's a very nuance there. And if you know what the difference is, then you're a financial professional, because most consumers just don't understand what that difference is. And somehow the fee only sounds terrible. It's like, what do you mean fee only? I'm only going to get charged with fees. No, it means that your advisor's not being compensated differently for the things that they recommend. So the CFP has said fee-based is misleading, and you should say fee and commission. So if you're going to charge a fee and you're going to accept commissions, which a lot of financial advisors do, then you need to say fee and commission. So if you go on the CFP website, you can actually search for advisors by fee and commission or fee only. And about half of them are fee only, and those are the ones that would be eligible to be part of NAPFA.
So we're just about out of time for this segment, but Courtney and David, if people want to get more information either on the professional organizations or on the services that you offer so they have a better understanding of the sort of relationship you have with your clients, tell us how they could get.
We recommend that if you're looking for a financial advisor, you go to the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. It's napfa.org. You can also go to the cfpboard.org site, and there you can look up CFP professionals in your area. It's two very quick and easy ways of limiting your search to at least people who are professionally trained and who treat the industry as a profession rather than a sales organization.
And I hope that you will be taking the afternoon off, enjoying a little cup of champagne on the 50th anniversary.
We're going to be heads down, finishing up Roth conversions and end of year tax planning, but that's what we love to do. So that's our way of celebrating.
Okay, I'm glad that you enjoy it. Courtney Fraser, David Morata, thank you for joining us today on The Shilling Show.
Thank you.